to C3 Church Hepburn Heights. We believe Jesus Christ gives life to the full, and we are called to live it and share it. We pray you enjoy this message today.
I really want to start this morning by saying hello. How are we doing? Good. And I want to say thank you to Michaela. Oh, I'm going to get teary from the start. Oh dear. We originally, when we were planning behind the scenes where Michaela was going to do communion, it was on a different Sunday, but Michaela has already invited us into what God is doing today. So I want to thank you for that. And so, church, in that space where Michaela has invited us to sit in the forgiveness and the freedom of what Christ has purchased for us, I want us to start this bit in that posture in our hearts, feeling forgiven, feeling freed, and let some healing settle in that space right now. So we are continuing our servant-hearted humility series, and our locating scriptures, in case you haven't been here, are in Philippians chapter 1, verse 27 through to chapter 2, verse 18. And we're going to read some of those together this morning. And I really want us to sit with these scriptures and let them be alive to us. And as Pastor Ems just mentioned, may there be a joy in these for us today. Are we ready? If you have a Bible with you, you can join in, but they will be on the screens. So we're going to start in Philippians chapter 1, verse 27, just the first part of that scripture. It says to us, whatever happens, conduct yourself in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. Philippians 2, verses 3 and 4 say, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of others. And Philippians 2, verse 5 says, in your relationships with one another, have a look around you to the people you might be related to or have relationship with. With these people, in our relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus. Let's just take a moment on that. I don't know about you, but this is what my mind says when I read these scriptures. Okay, whatever happens in my life, I need to conduct myself in a manner worthy of looking like I am actually a follower of Jesus. Well, I'm not really indulging in anything too sinful or terrible, so I think I'm pretty good there. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Well, I do try not to be selfish. I'm actually not that ambitious as a person. And of course, as a pastor, I actually truly do care about other people. So maybe I'm good there. But do I have the same mindset as you, Jesus? I could probably work on that bit. That's what my mind says. And at the same time, my heart is over here sounding more like this. Whatever happens, what on earth do you mean? That's not fair. Do you know what's happened in my life? I have had some scary, some tragic, and some really horrible experiences, and I think it's a little bit okay to be self-protective and a tiny bit selfish over here, because I have learnt that people are not to be trusted. Some of them, they've hurt me. But even here, Jesus, I do want to have your mindset, even here where it hurts and where I'm feeling really vulnerable. Having the same mindset as Christ Jesus, well, that's quite a challenge for us humans, a challenge for our minds, a challenge for our hearts, and sometimes they don't agree. So it's a problem for us, right? This scripture is not simple, it's not easy. As we were contemplating the Easter story a couple of weeks ago, I was challenged again, not just by the fact that Jesus humbled himself by becoming obedient to death and even death on a cross, as we read in Philippians 2:8, where he suffers a humiliating, degrading, and really super painful death, but the fact that while he is suffering that death for us, for me, for my sins, He also models for us his mindset towards others. The account of the Easter story is written in all four Gospels, but both John and Luke give us some extra details on how Jesus interacted with others while he was dying. In John 19, 25 to 27, this is after Jesus has been nailed to the cross, so he is in pain. It says, "Near the cross of Jesus stood his mother's sister, Mary the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus saw his mother there and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby," don't you love that John describes himself like that? "He said to her, 'Woman, here is your son,' and to the disciple, 'Here is your mother.' From that time on, this disciple took her into his home." So here we have Jesus hanging on a cross. Some of us have seen depictions of this in movies or other things, pictures, paintings. We know that he was bleeding, battered, in pain. And yet he publicly acknowledges his mother and sets up her future care. That's what Jesus is doing while he's dying. Now, I don't have that mindset anywhere near close yet. Anyone maybe getting closer than me? Because I don't have that. If ever there's a time to look to your own self and your own pain, would not hanging on a cross be that moment? In Luke's account, we read an interaction between Jesus and the two others crucified with him, these two criminals with him. Luke 23, verse 39 to 43. "One of the criminals who hung there hurled insults at him. 'Aren't you the Messiah? Save yourself and us.' But the other criminal rebuked him. 'Don't you fear God?' he said. 'Since you are under the same sentence, we are punished justly, for we are getting what our deeds deserve. But this man has done nothing wrong.' Then he said, 'Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom.' And Jesus answered him, 'Truly I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise.'" Again, we see Jesus nailed, hands, feet, bleeding, dying. And he is grace-filled and compassionate towards the one who recognizes him, and he sets him free in forgiveness and releases him into eternal paradise. Jesus forgives. His mindset towards others is forgiveness. In Luke 23, verse 34, right after Jesus has been nailed to the cross, his words are, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." And he's forgiving the Roman soldiers. He's forgiving the instruments of power. He's forgiving the religious leaders of the day. But, church, he's forgiving us. It's our sins, past, present, and future, that drove Jesus to the cross. Forgiving is having the mindset of Jesus. Forgiving someone who has sinned against us is a posture of humility. It is the way of Jesus. And it's not a one-time deal. I wish I could take a forgiveness tablet and be immune from all unforgiveness from henceforth, that no one would ever irritate me, bug me, or hurt me ever again. Wouldn't that be nice? If I could sell those, I think I would make some money. However, it doesn't happen that way. It's a practice. And we see Jesus practices it. Jesus forgives, not automatically. It's not just he's God, of course he forgives, it's his default, it just oozes out of him. But he is intentional, consistent, and complete in his forgiveness. In Mark 2, we read the account of the paralyzed man being lowered through the roof by his mates for healing. And Jesus speaks forgiveness of that guy's sins and releases him from his paralysis. So we see forgiveness and healing right there. Jesus knew that what was binding him was more involved in his sin and his need for forgiveness than something physical. In Luke 7, we read about Jesus being anointed with perfume by a sinful woman and Jesus forgiving her sins, acknowledging her faith, and setting her free to go in peace. Forgiveness brings peace. In John 8, we read about a woman caught in adultery being brought to Jesus, and he kneels in the dirt. He's intentional. He seeks the Father's wisdom. And then he stands and he challenges her accusers and he forgives her and releases her from all condemnation, sets her free to go. Jesus forgives, and this should give us great hope. Because all of us sin and we all fall short. And as Michaela mentioned this morning, we all have such a desperate need to receive that forgiveness. And 1 John 1:9, as Michaela has already shared with us, assures us that if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. But more than simply us receiving forgiveness, Jesus teaches us, his disciples, his ways, and teaches us the importance of fully forgiving others as well. And this is where the challenge lies. I know it's sometimes difficult to forgive ourselves, but to receive forgiveness is a relief. To offer it is an effort. But when Jesus teaches us the Lord's Prayer in Matthew 6, verses 9 to 15, he's really clear about the flow of forgiveness that we are called to. Join with me. We're going to pray that prayer together. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we have also forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. There's forgiveness available, but it's designed to flow to us and through us. There's healing, freedom, redemption. This is where it lies. But if we hold it in and don't forgive others, it's unavailable to us. I don't think we like this verse in the Bible, really. It's not how we actually want to live. I would like to receive your forgiveness, Lord, but my heart would also like to hold on to a little bit of resentment. Anyone else? Come on, be honest. Okay, so Jesus forgives various people in the New Testament. We see that. We see him model forgiveness. But these are people that don't have relationship to him necessarily. They're just cross his path in some way. But Jesus actually also forgives, as we've seen on the cross, those who hurt him. And we see it modeled even further when he comes back. His disciples had abandoned him. They had all run away. They were all lost in confusion and grief and fear. And yet when he reappears to them and enters the room, he doesn't come and tell them all off, although they all deserve it. He comes and he repeats, "Peace be with you." I come in peace. I'm not here to tell you off. I come with forgiveness. I come with grace. John 20, 21 to 23. Again, Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." And with that, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone's sins, their sins are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven." So Jesus calls us, calls his disciples to continue his ministry of forgiveness. We are called by Jesus to forgive others as we have been forgiven, intentionally, completely, and consistently, over and over again. It's not a one-time deal. This is a practice, a way to walk in the steps of our Lord Jesus. Jesus shows us his mindset. He is so clear. We are called to forgive those who annoy us. have hurt us, offended us, wounded us, and even those who have harmed us. This is very difficult. And it would be easier if people asked us for their forgiveness. If they said sorry and said, please, will you forgive me? We might, in our hearts and our minds, feel more inclined to forgive. But in very many situations, that's never going to happen. And for some of us here today, we no longer have a relationship with the person who has hurt us, or they might have even passed away. And so that opportunity for that beautiful interaction that we might like is gone. But that doesn't mean we are free from the call to forgive. And it's clear, if we don't forgive, we won't be forgiven. And then unforgiveness binds us. Band, if you could come up. Thank you. Church, this is weighty, challenging stuff. I apologize if you wanted to come this morning and receive a giant pat on the back, because this is more a kick in the bottom. But we need it, because we all fall short in this area, every single one of us. I don't have that mindset of Christ that he demonstrated on the cross. It's a work that I need done in my heart. And as Pastor M preached a few weeks ago out of Philippians 2:13, it's God in us that works in our hearts to will and to act in order to fulfill his good purpose. We can't do it on our own. As Michaela said, we can try and scrub the stains out. We can try and pretend everything's okay, but we can't make it happen out of pure will. We can engage our will to partner with Holy Spirit and ask him to give us the courage and the empowering and the words and the timing, and he will help us. But we can't do it on our own. Holy Spirit, we need you. Because forgiving is a humbling of ourselves. And as Pastor Jace preached last week, Jesus came not as a king to lord it over us, but as a servant to lift and serve us. And this is what Jesus does, is he says, hey, I want you to forgive. And he gets underneath and he brings us up to his mindset, because we can't do it on our own. We can try, but we will make more mess. The shirt will get messier. And so just as he did before, I believe Jesus wants to breathe on us today. We are his disciples. I believe he has a breath of forgiveness, a breath of conviction, a breath of desire and empowering this morning. As I was praying for today, God showed me two things. Firstly, it was actually this auditorium filled like it is today. And Jesus was walking in our midst. And what I saw was that every single one of us has had this challenge, or is in this challenge, or is going to have this challenge. And Jesus was just walking amongst us, tending to us. And for some, I saw he was just breathing across us, and breathing off like a dust off us, and just patting us on the shoulder and saying, you know, you've forgiven that person, but you can only keep forgiving and keep being kind to them in my empowering, by my spirit. And so where you think you've let go completely, there's a little dust on you. Let me just blow it off. Blow off the unforgiveness. And then there were some others in the picture, and they had a leg tethered to the floor, and they were literally spinning. And God said, there are people who are living lives looping around the same issues around and around and around, and they don't realize that the stake says unforgiveness. And that's actually what's tethering them. That might be you this morning. And then I saw others who were facing forward and wanting to move forward and wanting to follow Jesus, but both their hands were tied behind them. And so there was an eagerness and a desire to move and to do all the right things, but they can't do it. We can't do it in our own strength. We can't unshackle ourselves. But in the name of Jesus, he wants to set us free so that we can forgive and move. Sounds a little bit bleak, doesn't it? The final group of people I saw were sitting on the ground holding their heads in their hands. But the hope here is that Jesus is amongst us, walking, meeting us where we're at, touching, releasing, empowering. And some of you might be thinking, I think I'm all right this morning. Yeah, not really feeling it. I'm okay. Thanks for sharing, Genevieve. But the other thing that Holy Spirit showed me is that unforgiveness is sneaky and it hides, but sometimes it manifests in our bodies. And I saw a weight on people's shoulders, in behind their shoulder blades, and I believe some people have had an unexplained stiffness they can't get rid of, despite stretching or exercising or other natural things. And it's the weight of unforgiveness and shame, and it's the enemy parked on our back. And Jesus wants to bring his spirit to get rid of that today. And I saw others who in their body had unforgiveness and fear sliding through their gut. And some of that was actually from harm done quite long ago, and God revealed some of the gut issues you're experiencing are not in the natural, they are in the spiritual, and they are unforgiveness and fear binding your gut. And that he wants to free and heal, just as he healed the paralyzed man by releasing forgiveness. He wants to empower us to forgive others today so that unforgiveness doesn't live in our gut and cause us problems. I saw weariness. I saw people looking like grey cadavers where literally their lifeblood had been drained out, where there's an unexplained weariness in your life. It's not natural. You're getting enough sleep. You're getting enough exercise and food, but just this constant weariness. And God's revealed to me it's resentment, a low level of resentment that's just constantly draining. And I believe that it's actually in some couples, in some marriages, there's a low level of resentment towards each other. And God wants you to have life to the full, not this weariness, not this drained, yucky sense. And so I know Holy Spirit wants to empower you to let go of the resentments. I saw jaws clenched in determination and anger, actually not wanting to forgive because that would actually be letting someone who deserves it off the hook. And right now there's some people here realizing they actually clench their jaw a lot. And Jesus wants to heal and bring freedom. Freedom from anger, freedom from hurt, and an ability to let go and be courageous and forgive. I saw a metal band across heads, tightening around foreheads, bringing headaches, bringing pain. And it's rooted in the overthinking and the worry of unforgiveness, the fear of having to confront that person or speak to them ever again. And again, Jesus wants to heal that today. So church, I just ask you to stand. Thank you, Lord. Let's close our eyes. Thank you, mighty God. Holy Spirit, we invite you amongst us. We thank you, Jesus, that you sent your spirit to heal, to set us free, to guide, to convict, to show us your ways. to stir in us your power, to release over us your peace. And this is a partnership. There is an invitation this morning to hope and freedom and peace and redemption and untethering and that flow of forgiveness from heaven to our hearts, to others. That is what God has for us today. Holy Spirit, I thank you that you are speaking to us right now, stirring our hearts, showing us, even bringing names of people to mind that we know there's a little residue of unforgiveness there. For some, it feels like this message has actually opened up a really deep wound in your heart and it feels raw and sore and you don't want to acknowledge it. And Jesus just wants to place his hand on it right now and fill it with his healing and his love and his empowering and his courage for us to be able to join him today in saying, Father, forgive them. Thank you, Lord. Lord, we're so grateful for your power, your anointing, your love. Thank you for meeting us right where we are at right now. Lord, we hold those that we are holding in unforgiveness before you, Jesus. Those that annoy, those that have harmed, those we're jealous of. And we ask that you would help us to forgive this morning. Fill us anew with your forgiveness, your compassion, your love, your grace, your mercy. And Father, we speak to unforgiveness today in the name of Jesus. And we bind it and we declare that the assignment of unforgiveness that has held us tethered as a church is over. And so we evict unforgiveness today in the name of Jesus from our hearts, from our minds, and we surrender our bodies. We surrender our bodies right now. If that's you, if you know that one of those things was you, just hold out your hands. Reach out. Receive the healing in the name of Jesus. A release now of forgiveness, an untethering, an unbinding, and a freedom because, Jesus, you set us free. Mighty God, I thank you that you sent your Son to set us free. Breathe on us, Lord. Touch our hearts. Lord, align our hearts and our minds and our bodies with your mindset. Thank you, Lord.
Thanks so much for joining us here on our podcast. We encourage you to let this word further help you live and share the life to the full that Jesus gives. If you want to check out more about our upcoming events, service times, locations, or to give online, go to c3hh.com.au.